All right, we are recording. Today I have on Miltiadis. He is a software engineer and computer vision researcher. He started programming when he was 15 years old. He moved into computer vision and machine learning. 2.5 years ago, he published his first scientific paper titled Autonomous OCR Dictating Systems for Blind People, which helps with image recognition and reading texts for people who otherwise could not. At 21, he founded Philosophy Behind Coding, and now he's preparing for a PhD in the United Kingdom in software, or excuse me, in computer science. So, Miltiadis, thank you for coming on today.
My pleasure, my pleasure.
So, I usually start off with this question. I think you're gonna like it. What is the most important thing or most exciting thing you're working on right now? Why is that?
Okay, so right now we are in a transition period. I'm trying to finish my bachelor in Aristotle University about electrical and computer engineering that I'm in right now. In order to go to the next step and go for a PhD in computer vision machine learning. So at the same time, I'm trying to work with a course that I'm trying to build in machine learning, about machine learning. And at the same time, I'm working with Philosophy Behind Coding and some research, but I think that I keep the best of it for my actual PhD.
And what type of research are you planning on getting into for your PhD? Is this the same thing, image recognition, or some variant on image recognition, or what exactly are you getting into?
Okay, I guess that we need to start from first of all, image processing is not Photoshop that most of people believe that it is. It is the field that try to make sense of an image. So we take as input images or videos, and we try to understand what it is behind an image or behind a video. So if you think for a robot that has a camera, you have the ability to give to the robot a vision. You have the ability to give him something to see. But if you don't have an algorithm that understands this video and tells the robot what to do depending on the video, you don't have actually nothing. So you need to combine the input of a video and at the same time, a really good algorithm that's created from someone that knows computer vision that can understand and tells what to do. And all this can be combined and be even more interesting when you work with machine learning. Machine learning is something that we hear a lot recently, and you can work with machine learning in medicine, in computer vision, robotics, and so on and so forth. But in computer vision, it is the idea of not only create a hard-coded algorithm that can do something really specific, but to see the video like someone, like a little kid that for the first time he sees something, he see a cube, and he try to understand what is a cube, what is a banana, what is this really simple and vague objects. And the idea is to combine computer vision and machine learning in order to start for the robot, for the system to learn, to understand the world from zero. This is one of the ideas that I'm thinking to work in my PhD. Of course, there are several others.
That sounds pretty math intensive. That's intense. Before we get into Philosophy Behind Coding, now you started that, I do have one question about that. Are you one of the researchers that actually designs those computer algorithms, or are you more putting together the work of people that have already designed them to make that system that does the machine learning and
Really,
recognizes
really
images?
good questions because this is a distinction, and it is of course easier to just take bits and pieces. Many programmers, not only computer vision, but in generally programming, work like a Lego, like Lego boxes. Mm-hmm. They work with black boxes that you know that a function can do something. Mm-hmm. So you combine many functions in order to do something specific. Mm-hmm. I am more of a hardcore programmer that I'm trying to build everything for myself. Mm-hmm. And try to invent the wheel. Mm-hmm. My professor, I'm getting ahead of myself, but my professor started me from when I was little, when I was 15 years old, mm-hmm. to be a hardcore programmer. So he didn't taught me how to swap variables or how to take an array and sort this array. He told me just to find a way to sort an array. So I had to... I had to buy whiteboards and start to do ideas, math, many days and weeks on searching stuff in order to invent from the start how to sort an array. So this was something that, and this was a hardcore training that helped me to, and learn, and I learned with these techniques to understand and love research, because yeah. when you work in research, you need to create something from scratch in order to be new, in order to create something innovative. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. That sounds like the opposite of most, you know, coding, at least training courses for people now. That's interesting. I think it'd be hard to even find someone that would suggest that type of instruction, at least on the internet.
I was so lucky. I have to say that mm-hmm. this professor taught me anything, and it is not. And this is something that we will talk about philosophy and coding. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to teach a programming language. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to do the exact opposite. I'm trying to build and teach you the algorithmic way of thinking. So mm-hmm. how to take any programming language and take any program and try to find the solution. Not about the programming language, but about the actual problem and how to use a programming language like a tool in order to get you what you want to be.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. I think in the ideal world, that's how all computer scientists would operate, but that's definitely difficult.
Yes, of course.
That's great though. So I guess we'll just jump into philosophy behind coding. So you're saying that, you know, you want people to understand that there's logic and there's an actual system behind all these languages and libraries and functions and tools that, you know, modern programmers are given. Is that the only reason you created philosophy behind coding, or what else? What was your broad vision for the channel?
Okay, first of all, the name starts from there. The same is the name is philosophy behind coding, and I try to give you the idea that you try to find the philosophy behind the programming, the coding, and all that stuff. And it was an idea that I had to start and try to. Teach to people how to program differently. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to go to the next level and scale what I already do in Greece. I tried to teach many students about programming. I did many lessons to people around 19 to 22 years old mm-hmm. That are in the university and wanted to go to the next level. But I thought that I want to go to the next level and teach to people all around the world. But at the same time, I wanted to not give my time one-to-one. So if I want to teach one person, I need to give two hours of my time in order for someone to learn. On the other hand, when you create a course, when you create something for someone to consume, you give about 20, 40, 1 week or months mm-hmm. in order to build the course. Mm-hmm. And after that, everyone can take this course, thousands of students, mm-hmm. without you teaching to every one of them. This is a scalable model in contrast to what I did in the past.
Yeah, definitely.
But at the same time, it is more about the goal of this company, because when you want to build something in programming, most of the people, they start with C++, for example, which is a difficult language. For example, I started with C++. And you start to learn everything about if, for loops, pointers, arrays, and all that stuff. And you start to feel like you had the ability to create something. You know that you know the 90% of the language. Mm-hmm. But when you take the program, you can't make everything work together in order to have a solution, in order to have something that actually works. So I'm trying to sift all this idea and give you only one tool at a time. So for example, I give you only variables, and I try to go to a really deep level with problems that involve math, with problems that involve algorithmic way of thinking, only with variables. Mm-hmm. In order to really understand variables, for example, then I give you the idea of if statement and why you want if statement in order to go a step further. Mm-hmm. So this is a structure that I wanted to build in order to give a completely a different idea for the viewer. And this is a difficulty that I have right now, because I'm trying to build a machine learning course, which is 1,000 steps further from Python than Java. And I want to give you this simple idea and this algorithmic way of thinking in this really difficult and technical part, which is machine learning. Mm. So we try to transform these ideas into this field. Mm.
That's interesting. I just interviewed someone who prepares people for consulting interviews, and he was saying that one of the biggest things is people just try to practice these case studies, you know, kind of like people try to do these programming problems and they don't break it down into these sub skills, these micro skills within, you know, doing the whole case.
Great.
And it's, that seems very similar to what you're saying with, you know, 100%. Doing every type of problem you can with a variable, doing every, you know, one concept at a time and seeing how it can be used and then combining it with the mathematics and logic.
Yes, this is the main idea. Yes. And you need to give me his email. This is,
yeah.
We have exactly the same ideas. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is interesting. I see that as well. I recently started learning programming, and I went through a very high-end course that was designed to get people ready for industry programming, and it didn't get much in the computer science. And now I'm in a computer science program, and I'm having to go back and try to learn all the math, discrete math, and yes. It's totally, yeah, it's like totally missed out on it. So
it's really difficult to find a professor, and even more difficult to find a course mm-hmm. that can teach you something like that, because most of the courses just go to the classical route, which is how to teach you a programming language, mm-hmm. how to do everything that this programming language can offer. And this is something that it is logical, and this is something that someone that already knows programming is something that he wants. If you already know algorithmic way of thinking mm-hmm. for Python, it is really easy to go to C++. So you can take one of these courses and really easily transform your way of thinking into C++, into Java, and so on. This ideas is especially for someone that right now try to understand programming and right now start to combine computer science with math and how exactly to solve problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's that the way of thinking mathematically for computer science, it's just I have yet to find one person that found it intuitive. So
yes, it is difficult, and I think that right now, after so many years, I think that something that don't people say really often is that don't all math, all fields, all different fields in the math community needs in during your programming career. You will need really specific fields. Mm-hmm. So I think that it will be a really good idea for a course. And I didn't thought that. So really good ideas that to create a course that can tell you what exactly you need from math and mm-hmm. how to combine it with programming. And I think that this will be something that can help people to get the hang of how to combine these two.
So you mean like fill in those gaps someone who might just be a programmer has without having to take an entire,
Yes, like for example, for degree. Machine learning, you need vectors, you need arrays and all that stuff, not programming matrices, but the idea of mathematical arrays. And this is extremely important. So most of machine learning courses, they start by teaching you the basics about math. So I'm trying to think how I can take a step back and try to understand what and how and for what reason you need math in this course, and what is the best way to convey these ideas to a student, because some students they don't want, or they don't because of financial situations, they don't go to university, mm-hmm. so they don't have the background. So a simple crash course to vectors and arrays are not enough to some students. Mm-hmm. So you need to find a way to teach a field to someone that don't know anything, but at the same time to be interesting and intuitive.
Mm. Yeah. I think luckily now there are a lot of courses coming out that are pretty good. I'll link in these, but I know off the top of my head, Metis is a data science training company. They have a prep course that's really good. And fastai.com is they have a course, deep learning for coders, that goes into examples with libraries, and then later in the course telling people how to get into the algorithm development and creating their own libraries. So because it is difficult, depending on your background, something like machine learning, if you don't have those libraries to work with, it's like starting from the ground up is pretty daunting.
Yes, it is.
So back to philosophy behind coding. What was the point in your life? What was going on when you decided to start it? And why did you make that decision?
Okay. When I was 18 years old, after my first or second year in university, I was sure that I will become a researcher mm-hmm. because I had the training, and at the same time, I love the idea. And for that reason, I started working with my professor in the publication that you told about. After that, I thought that I wanted to go a step further and work with students and work with students in a scale, as already told you. But I wasn't sure, and I didn't have the idea of an entrepreneur and what exactly it means to have a business and what exactly it means to create something and create a digital business. So it was just an idea of teaching people and letting them understand what programming and computer science means. I didn't have the idea of teaching about machine learning, computer vision, or inspiring people on YouTube with the vlogs, and all these things came later. The only idea was to build something. I love to build something new. Even this is an algorithm that can create something or help people. Even this, if this is something that it is a digital business, if I can say that.
So this was really just you having that desire to be building things, and this is just another expression of that, basically build something useful for people.
Yes. I guess that this was one more time that I was lucky, because I just wanted to build something for the community, and after that it came the philosophy behind coding, the idea, and all these different stages and fields that that we have right now.
Mm-hmm. And I see also, so on the topic of building and helping students, I see that you did it was a Udemy course, it looks like.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Was that before or after this? And why did you decide to create that?
Okay. First of all, we started with just YouTube videos.
Okay.
And we tried to create animations that teach programming, teach the philosophy of programming and all that stuff. But after that, we find out really fast that you need to respect the platform. So mm-hmm. when you are on YouTube, people want to see something really fast. They need to be inspired, or sometimes, of course, they want to see a course or learn something. But I find out that it is even better to create a course, someone that is specified for courses, which is Udemy or other platforms for courses, because the student already has the mindset in order to be taught something. So I start to, me and my team, after a while, we start to separate these two things. For YouTube, we try to create something that can inspire people and inspire them to work harder, to program and all that stuff. And from Udemy, to build courses that can take you from A to Z to a specific topic. And for that reason, we choose Python, Java, and C++ to create courses there.
Mm. Yeah, no, that makes sense, definitely, respecting the platform and what content is native to each one, instead of just trying to put a course up on YouTube. That makes sense. Yeah, people definitely usually don't come to YouTube just for long form instructional. So
yes, they just want to learn something really fast. They just want to learn how an array is coded in C++, or how you can swap to variables, and you will leave. You don't want to see something from start to finish most of the time.
Mm. No, that definitely is true. So you created those two courses. You have your YouTube channel, which is now primarily inspirational with some of the shorter form instructional. Where do you see Philosophy Behind Coding going? Are you planning on expanding the team? What sort of other courses or products are you guys going to offer? Where do you see it going in the next 5 years or so?
Okay. The ideas for the future are always something that I really love, but are most of the time are too much. So the first idea, right now we are about 8 people in Philosophy and Coding. We are a really small team that working good in these different departments. So depending on what we want to build, we talk with people and take more and more people, but we don't have a specific plan for how many people we want to hire and what we want to do in this department. On the other hand, we have some ideas about building applications, mm-hmm. because we are already in the programming department, so it is really easy to bring a team of programmers all together and start building. We have right now 2 ideas for apps. And at the same time, I want to continue working in my PhD, because many people right now that Philosophy Behind Coding start to have a relative success, I guess. They told me to stop my university degree or don't go for a PhD and go straight to Silicon Valley in order to get a funding for the company or for the application ideas. Mm-hmm. But I want to continue my PhD, because the first goal for myself was to become a researcher. But right now I try to combine both, because I want to create a research company that can produce content, can produce courses, create applications, and most important of all, which is the fourth one, is to create research. And I want to, and this is about 5, 7, 10 years down the road, so this is too much, but the main idea is to bring researchers together that are interested in robotics, machine learning, computer vision, and build something innovative, something completely new, actually do research.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's really interesting though, because having all those peripheral product lines and service lines, you know, take care of one of the biggest issues in research, which is the funding. It's like that is the biggest issue in research. And it's kind of interesting that the same model, you know, most private companies use isn't used more. I guess I'm not sure how it is in Greece, but in the US, research is largely government funded and they pay quite a bit. And then the biggest universities, it's, you know, the alumni and their endowment. But that's interesting to create product lines and services to support your research.
Yes, because I'm trying to build the knowledge from my PhD, and at the same time I'm trying to build a strong foundation, mm-hmm. and then the research. So yes, this is the idea. Of course, I don't know someone that did something like that. Of course, we can find some examples, but the idea is that I don't know if this will actually work, mm-hmm. or if we will go somewhere else. And frankly, the idea is to just do the journey, and I'm sure that we will go somewhere that it will be interesting, it will be beneficial for both the company and the community, because the important part is to help the community always.
Yeah, no, definitely. It definitely is, especially that type of research. It's going to be, you know, super valuable for everyone. And it seems like that already happens indirectly too. You know, any big company like Google has their own research divisions, and then, you know, the school they came out of, Stanford, I'm sure their endowment got plenty of donations from Google alum. So it happens indirectly, but it's cool to see that you're thinking of doing that, you know, and just taking the responsibility as an individual to make it happen. It's interesting. So, okay, you talked about where you're going with the company. So I guess that decision to stay in as a researcher, because there's a lot of people who want to be content creators, or they already are as professionals. You know, people have full-time jobs, they're doing it on the side. And I've talked to a number of creators that are on that tightrope they're walking, where they're not sure if they should go all in, because a lot of them really do like, you know, their professions. They had vision for that side of their life as well. How do you think about that? And do you think that'll ever change in the future? You'll say, I'm just going to be a full-time entrepreneur.
This is something that, as I already told you, many people told me to do.
Yeah.
I tried to do something different. Instead of using the payment that right now the company has from YouTube, Udemy, and all these different sources, instead of using for myself and Stop University, I'm trying to outsource all the work, because I need to concentrate to research and in general to my studies. So for that reason, I achieved to build a team from a so low standpoint, because right now it is a really small company, of course, with a small amount of subscribers and all that stuff. But I think that the idea right now for me is to use all these use all these resources in order to build something that can support the company with me as little as possible, if this is something that makes sense, because I need to continue my studies for at least 3 more years. And after my PhD, there is the possibility that I will do a postdoc. So I need to do the exact opposite. If I go and start being a YouTuber or a content creator in general, I will basically stop my studies. And this is something that I don't want to do, because I always see the final goal, which is, okay, it is 8 or 10 years down the road, but I think that it's something that it's viable. And I think that this can happen if I succeed not to drop out of my PhD for the other 3 years that coming.
Yes. Yeah, that is exciting. It's definitely... definitely more challenging, I think, but that is very exciting.
Yes.
You talk about outsourcing. That's something I would say the majority of creators would like to know more about. I feel like there's very few people who are as good at outsourcing as they would like to be. So what are some of the things that have worked for you in terms of recruiting partners or friends or contractors? How do you do that? And what does that look like for Philosophy of Mind Coding?
Okay, this is something that actually I didn't know someone that did it. And when I tried, when I had the idea, most of people told me that this is not even possible.
Yeah.
And just continue editing. But I had the idea that I can work with, right now, I already told you the level of my company, of my YouTube channel are relatively low, I guess. So I don't have the payment of a big YouTuber, which we all know that can support easily to do outsourcing. Mm-hmm. So I thought the idea of working with people from places that make sense economically, because I am from, I thought the idea first that they need to have the correct currency in order for the translation to work out and be beneficial for both of us. Mm-hmm. So I work with people from Filipinas or from India that the translation of currencies is beneficial for both of us, because if I try to work with an editor from USA or from UK, my company will be out bankrupt for a month or something.
Yes.
So this was the first idea.
Yeah.
After that, I thought that instead of going to a website that can provide me with people, I thought that I have a pretty good following from Instagram, and I thought that I can make an Instagram story mm-hmm. to just ask if someone wants to work with us, if someone already knows us, because this has two benefits. Mm-hmm. The first one is that you help your own community, and the second one is that the people that will work with you already love your content, already are involved with your content, because if they watch your story, it means that already watch your YouTube videos, your stories, they are involved in your community.
Yeah.
So I start working with great people that already love the idea of Philosophy Behind Coding, embrace the culture, because this is really important for us, because we don't want to just create content, but we want to create different content. Mm-hmm. And this was the idea of creating something that can be powerful and at the same time can work on itself, because sometimes I don't have time to work in the company. Mm-hmm. For example, in my past year in my university, I had to finish with many courses in order to have the ability to go to UK for a PhD, because in Greece, the system is, I think that it's different from the system that I watched from UK or USA. We have courses, we have seven courses in the two semesters, but you have the ability to not pass any of your exams, any of your courses. Yes, and yeah. At the same time, you have the ability to pass 20 courses at the same time, which is insane. It is not possible, but you have the ability.
Yeah.
So if you make the math, I create and I develop a business during my studies, and I develop my paper during my studies. Mm-hmm. So this means that I had to not work in my university for months. And with that way, I lost many courses. This was not a problem, but sometimes this makes you finish your university instead of 5 years, which is the minimum for Greece, mm-hmm. to 6, 7, 8 years sometimes. The average is 7 years,
oh, wow. I think.
Yes,
it's
insane.
But that's
it's
so
another
long.
I know.
Yeah.
This is something that, for example, right now we will go with my sister at the same time to UK. My sister will go for a bachelor and I will go for a PhD. Mm-hmm. My sister will go also to electrical and computer engineering. Mm-hmm. And I see the strategy and the path for my sister, which is 3 years university, 1 year master, 3 years PhD. And this is approximately how many years it takes someone from my university to finish. Yes. Yeah. So in my previous semester, I had to give 17 courses in only one semester, and which is about 1.5 years yeah. in only 6 months.
Yeah.
Of course, most of my friends told me that this is impossible, but and for that reason, I had to stop philosophy behind coding. But at the same time, and I'm come again to the team, we had a strong team that could continue philosophy and coding. And if you try to see months that we post courses or YouTube videos, you will not see that I'm not there and I don't work for 6 whole months in the company, because I did a lot of work at summer, and my whole team work during in these 6 months to build all this content, edit and animate and all that stuff in order to the company to actually continue working.
Yeah.
So this is the idea, to not only to outsource your editing, because most of the you can think that I have the money and I can just outsource the editing because I don't want to edit. Mm-hmm. The idea is to build a strong foundation in your company if you want to say that you have a company. And for that reason, for example, when I hire someone to create the editing for my vlogs, mm-hmm. I wanted to create a really specific style. Mm-hmm. So I took someone that didn't know anything about editing. He didn't ever touch Sony Vegas or anything like that. And I taught him from 0 to 10 everything about editing, and then everything about my style, because I wanted him to create something that was the same exact on what I will produce if I created the same editing for these videos, for the videos.
Oh, wow. So you found this was one of an audience member of yours that you then trained up from scratch.
The eight members that we are right now, they are all members from my audience. Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And some of them I taught them, some of them other members taught them. I'm sorry for that, but it is a process that we don't hire someone that already know editing, already know animation, but we try to teach them in order to create this connection, and at the same time create something that is exactly what we want it to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So you'd recommend that strategy then to any content creators, if they can find people, you know, either in the right country or at the right skill level where it makes sense economically, you'd recommend pulling people from your audience?
Yes. Some people told me that it is a waste of time to teach to someone how to edit. You can just find someone that can edit. But it is not only the connection, but it is something that it is worthwhile from an economical standpoint, because it will take you about 3, 4, 5, 6 sessions in order to teach him how to do it from scratch. And from now on, you will not have to edit. So this is something that not only in the long run, but after 1 month or 1.5 months, it will be already beneficial economically and time-based for your time management.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, and you get a low-price editor and they learn a very specific skill, so that's pretty good.
But at the same time, this is something that it is really good for their currency, for their country.
Yes.
So it is beneficial for both of you. Yeah. And this is the important part. The important part is to be what you were building to be really good for the community, for you, for someone that work for you. It needs to be beneficial for everyone.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I mean. That skill too is they're getting taught editing on the job, which is great.
Of course.
So for the business build, I only have a couple more questions too. For the business building part of philosophy behind coding, Were there any resources, you know, blogs, books, courses, or mentors specifically that you used or you'd recommend?
Okay. First, when you try to build a business and when you try to work with editing, animation, and recording audio, recording video, you need to learn so many things. It was a completely different skill that branches out to so many different skills that I needed to learn right now. I need to learn about lighting, which was something that I didn't ever thought about it, about cameras, about how to edit a video correctly, how to edit a video on point with the music. And this is something that you need to learn, of course, from the internet. And we are really fortunate that we have all this content and all these people that can help us. And at the same time, yes, you need some kind of mentors from the internet. If you can find a real one, like my programming professor when I was 15, it will be great. It will be something completely different. But you need to find people that can inspire you. And I like to say that you are the average of the five people that are in the same room as you. This is not mine. So you're someone that influenced by people around you. So if you don't have the environment, the correct environment in your home or in your office, you need to build it in your computer. So I tried to create a really specific subscriptions on YouTube. I subscribe only to people that inspire me, teach me things, and so on and so forth. So I have a feed of videos that every day they taught me something different. They inspire me to do something new. They give me new ideas. For example, Gary Vaynerchuk, of course.
Yeah.
Is someone that can, I think that I read all or most of his books, which is really good. Oh, at the same time, I think that someone that everyone should do is to start going to the audiobook game. Because for me personally, I don't have time to sit and read a book, but at the same time, I have time that I'm driving, I'm walking, I go for a run. So I read books only when I do something else, watching, driving, and so on. And only in this time, I have the ability to read about two books every month, I guess, which is time that it is completely wasted when you just listen to music. So if you take podcasts, books, you can start educating yourself in the time that it is already wasted. And and the most important trick that I can give you for this segment is to not only to read audiobooks, but at the same time to start developing your mind in order to have the ability to read them in 2x or even 2.5x, which means that a book that it is about 12 hours, you can read it in 5 hours, 4 hours, which is incredible. Of course, if I try to play the book that I have right now, it is in 3x, I guess, and it is something that you can't even understand. Yeah. But you build it. You start from 1x, 1.5, 1.10, and so on. Mm-hmm. And then you go to, you start, because think about it. If you have, if you can read 1,000 books in your life, because we have finite amount of time, with this trick, you have the ability to read 2,000 books. This is game changing. Yeah. This is something that completely changes the time that you have. And at the same time, you read these books when you don't do things. Yes. When you're driving, when you're walking. So it is something that everyone in this space needs to do, from my personal point of view, of course.
That's interesting. I have a good friend who does that, and he said he got so used to it, he almost couldn't listen to regular things.
Yes, I think like it is in slow motion in my head. All my courses, when I take a course on Udemy, Coursera, every time it is in 2x. And right now, I can't listen to them because 2x is too slow for me right now. So and this platform don't give me the ability to have 2.5x or 3x, which is the regular for me. So this is something that you will be used to it. And of course, it's even more easy if English is easier for you, because I'm from Greece. So it was even more difficult
That's
for me.
Wild.
When I started learning my first course, when I took my first course on Coursera, I didn't know English. I know only the I knew only the basics. So on a DEX, and the DEX has subtitles.
Yeah.
So I started and copy the subtitles, paste them in the Google Translate.
Oh my God!
Try to learn this way. A course that is about 10 hours. It took me 30, 40, 50 hours because I needed to stop in every single line, copy paste, and try to understand from Google Translate. And 5 years ago, Google Translate was trash.
Yeah.
So if you want to learn something, I'm sure that you can do it, and I'm sure that you can find the way to do it. You need to have the fire to learn and the fire to build, which is two completely different things.
Yeah, that's good advice. That's good advice. I've always had that fire to learn myself, and I only recently had to start developing it, maybe in the last 5 years, to build, because I've had a lot of individual contributor type work I've had to do, and they are totally separate.
Yeah. Totally. And this is something that you build over time, because many people ask me how I can work for 14 hours a day. And because some people watch my vlogs, that I do something in every single hour of my day, and they don't understand how I'm so productive. The key is that I am actually not productive. When I started, something that don't people know about me is that when I was 12 or 13 years old, I wasn't good at school. Mm-hmm. I was terrible at math. I didn't know programming, and I wanted to become, I wanted to play violin in an orchestra. I found when I was 14, 15 years old, I found my professor that started teaching me programming. So I start learning the idea about programming, how to code, and I start thinking that this is interesting. This is something that I can do for the rest of my life or as a job. So I start going to the next level and thinking that how I can do that, how I can go to a university that can give me this type of education. So one thing after another, I went from not reading anything, not studying, not working on anything, from really good, really bad grades from school, to something that when I was in my first year on the university, I was doing at the same time my university studies and my research, which from time-based, my time management was insane. And this kept me going and start building on that. So it is something that you need to build, you need to learn, your body need to learn, your mind need to learn how to study, how to work, how to be productive, how to stay in front of your computer for 10, 11, 12 hours. So
yeah, that's interesting, because you're saying build it, like learn that and build it up. And I've heard a lot of people say that you need to start with really small goals to get that belief of working and seeing the result. Because if someone hasn't had that or hasn't built to a certain level, I think looking at someone like you that works 14-hour days does seem like, how do they do it? But I've heard so many people like you. John Fishman is a YouTuber. He's a CS undergrad who talks about the same thing, saying, I didn't used to be good at studying, you know, and then I got really good through just developing it and seeing all these results I was producing and getting addicted to that process of improving better results. You know, for you too, looking ahead and seeing that if I do these things, I'm then going to have these opportunities because of it. I feel like it becomes motivating at that point. And it's like an engine.
Exactly. And at the same time, don't forget that when you build a foundation of knowledge, because think about yourself like a company, you need to, you need, you can't go to machine learning immediately. You need to build a foundation of algorithmic thinking, Python, C++, then you need to go to math, then you need to combine all this together, then you need to go to machine learning. So the idea is not only that your body learn to adapt and learn to work harder, but at the same time for you is even easier to understand these ideas, because you already build an intuition around programming, around computer science, around math. So it is everything that you learned after a point, it is become easier and easier to learn the next one.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true as well. That's interesting. So I guess my last question would be, oh man, I could ask you all day about the motivation stuff and entrepreneur stuff. I'll watch your channel. But the last one is just, is there anything else that I didn't ask you that I should have or that you'd like to talk about?
I guess we can talk a bit more about research, which I think that not so many people will continue and will continue this path, but I think that there is not enough content out there about PhD research and hardcore computer science. So I think that people don't know about that. For example, when I talk about with people about programming, most of the time he will think about programming like websites, applications. That's it. So most people don't have the education, don't see enough content on YouTube in order to see what is mean to be a researcher, what is mean, and don't know if they actually like this path. So the idea about research, I started with research when I was at the second year of my university. I worked with computer vision, as already told you. Mm-hmm. And the idea was to build something that can actually help people, mm-hmm. because it is completely different to know how to create an algorithm, how to create an app, how to create a computer vision idea, and completely different to create a product that can be used from a user easily and help him in his day-to-day life. So the idea is to help visual impaired people to learn the books, as you already told. And it was a device, after we worked in this device for about 1 or 1.5 years. Of course, it was really important that I had my professor, and sometimes you need to have someone to guide you. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it will start from university, but sometimes, and I want to see if this is even possible, and I'm sure that it is, that someone start research without university. And I want to research about that, and I want to even find a way to do something like that in philosophy and coding. Because research is something that you create something innovative, you don't just use blocks, as we told, blocks of code, blocks of functions, and you put them together, but you have any idea. I had an idea, this device is glasses, mm-hmm. with a micro camera, mm-hmm. that a visually impaired person can take a book, can hold the book, and after that the system recognizes the image and then starts to dictate the words to a headset for the user. Mm-hmm. So this has a whole development for the hardware, of course, and then we need to create a way for the visual impaired person to bring the book to the correct position, mm-hmm. at the same time with a communication with the user. At the same time, we had to create a system that can separate the pages from the mm-hmm. book, the lines, the words, understand what a letter actually say, because for the book, for the computer, a letter, for example, the number 2, is only zeros and ones. It is only numbers. So if you have white, your computer see 255. If you have black, your computer see 0. So if you think about it, it's really difficult to understand from an image that has numbers the shape of the letters and understand that this image is 2. When you understand that, of course, you can dictate this to the user, which is a completely different idea. But The place that I want to end this part of the conversation is to try to go deeper into different fields and not only to applications and websites, which are of course great ways to find a job. They are really interesting because when you start, you want something that you can actually see the results. When you have an application, you change something and you have an actual result in your application. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it is really good to go a step further, go deeper to your knowledge and try to find out other fields of computer science, like machine learning that we talked about. You can work with astrophysics, with computer science, understand. For example, if you know computer vision, you can take a picture from the sky with the stars and you can understand the pattern of the stars, or you can understand how far is the star depending on the image. You have so many different ideas, so many different things that you can do, that you can build, that can help people, that can help the scientific community. When you go a step further to your knowledge, to your education.
Mm-hmm. No, that's good. I like that. It's like exactly like the name philosophy behind coding. What's going on under the hood? I like that. Well, thank you for coming on. I'm gonna cut the recording and we can chat after. But I really appreciate the time. That was some like awesome information and certainly the first conversation I've had about research.
Yes, this was great. This was great. Thank you very much for having me here.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.